Praise the Lord. Why some of you are standing, the rest can stand with me as I read to you a few scriptures and teach a Sunday school lesson this morning to you. And the Lord said unto Moses, this is coming out of Exodus chapter 20. The Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if not, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee. David wrote about this, and he called it divers kinds of flies. I will send flies, swarms of them upon thee, and upon the servants, and upon thy people, and upon thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever, everyone say sever. I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division, say division. I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. I want to teach this morning, divided by flies. Divided by flies. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Divided by those stinking flies. As I said, David said divers kinds of flies. It was not just, I'm sure, the blowfly, but there's two things that just get me. If there's anything I hate worse than blowfly, it's a cockroach, right? But those flies, they fly. And they'll light on your straw, right? You know, you've just been drinking out of it. And it's terrible. In certain countries, Lord, they can't even hardly take a picture of anything without the flies swarming the meat and the things they're going to eat. My Lord, I hate flies. I love the book of Genesis. I love the book of beginnings. I like origins. I like to know how things started, good or bad. How did it start? What started it? And so the book of Genesis tells us about God's creation. It tells us about the origin of our salvation. If you want to know how salvation came about, go to Genesis. And you'll find out the origin of salvation. Genesis begins with the blood flow that starts through Adam when Adam became a living soul. And you can follow the blood flow through 42 generations until you get to the last man, Adam, and he was our Redeemer. Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. And the bloodline goes, and you see how it starts, and you see all the way to where Christ comes. And if you want to find out about creation, go to the book of Genesis, and you'll find that the book of Genesis is a book of division, but so is the book of Revelation. It's about a division all the way from the beginning all the way till he separates the goats from the sheep and the right and the left and all these things. So when we look at the book of Genesis, we find it begins with division. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord said, let there be light. And the Bible says, and there was light. And as soon as the light had shown up, the darkness fled. And therefore there was a division. And he said, I will call the light day, and I will call the night darkness. I'm going to divide them. The first thing God did was that division. I'm going to divide it. And then he began to divide the waters, the Bible said, from the waters. He divided waters from the waters. A firmament above and a firmament below, and rain and the seas and the land appeared and so forth. And he even called the grasses and the herbs and the trees to come forth. And he said, they will be according to the kind of seed that's in them. Now they're divided. You can't plant apple seeds and get figs. They're divided by their seed. Whatever the seed is, that's what it's going to be. And so then he made Adam, and then he divided him. And out of Adam's side, he took Eve. So that Eve was really a derivative of Adam. Adam was divided. The Adam bomb, if you will, it was divided. Adam was divided into Eve. And so now we have two, but really they're one, but they've been divided. And God put them in a garden that had division too. there was two trees in there. They could eat of all the trees except for one. And in the midst of the garden was two trees. There's always a right choice and a bad choice, right? And so in the garden, here you are in the middle, and you're going to be divided between the right and the wrong. So every time they went to the tree, I suppose there was always this thought that, well, what if? I wonder, could it be? And so there the encourager was one day to encourage Eve to eat of this forbidden fruit. And when she ate of the forbidden fruit, she was going to die, but not Adam. They were divided. She would die, he would not. But he ate of the forbidden fruit knowing, the Bible says, knew that he would die. So he eats of the forbidden fruit and dies with his bride. Now, I love my wife, but I'm not dying with you over something you do wrong. Now, I'll die for you, but I'm not dying with you. And so he died with her, yet they were divided in death. Even though they were unified in what they did in partaking, they were divided by death. One died before the other. I don't know how old Eve lived. We know how old Adam lived. And so now that they're divided, God, they were not only divided from each other now by death, they will be divided from God who created them. And God sends them out of the garden to be like the rest of the world. Thorns and thistles and briars and go hoe and go water, go do all these things you didn't have to do, but you're not coming back here. And he divided them, put a cherubim in front of the tree of life in the garden so that they could not come back in, lest they eat of that tree and live forever. They were divided, Brother Valentine, from the presence of God. There's nothing worse than being divided from the presence of the Almighty God. That's what hell is. Adam and Eve's children were divided. One slays the other and lies. I don't know where he's at. Am I my brother's keeper? They were just like the rest of the world. I'm here to tell you this morning that there's no division between you and the rest of the world. You are the world. If you lie like the world, curse like the world, talk like the world, act like the world, you are the world. And God has called from the very beginning to the very end a division between his people and the world. And so nothing really happened in this ungodly world from the time he kicked them out of the garden all the way to the time of Abraham. We're still in the book of Genesis. And then the Lord calls Abraham away from his father, away from his mother, away, not because of his father and his mother, because they were idolaters. They served idols. And the Lord was calling them away from idolatrous worship into serving the one and true and living God. So the first circumcision was not of his flesh, it was of his family. He circumcised his family away. And then he circumcised Lot even further away. And then he circumcised himself. And he became the father of faith. And that tradition of circumcision held on even to today. Dividing away the ungodly part, the unclean part of a man's flesh. And the book of Genesis was the beginning of Adam dividing off the filth of the flesh. Not only was Abraham circumcised, but everybody in his household. He was the first partaker of the circumcision. The Bible says he sharpened a rock and circumcised himself. And then he called for everybody in this household, you're going to be circumcised too. You're staying with me, we're not going to be divided. If you stay in here, we're not going to be divided. God wanted Abraham and his family to be different, hear me this morning, than the rest of the world. Well, you say, well, he had clothes on. You couldn't tell that. That was an inner covenant that had an outer sign. All the covenants that God does is on the inside, but it always has an outer sign. Abraham and Isaac were circumcised. Abraham circumcised Isaac. The Bible said on the eighth day, that's that new beginning. Jacob and Esau were circumcised, and the children of Israel, Jacob's children, they were all circumcised. And so now we have this family that's all been circumcised, and they move into the land or the world of Egypt. Understand what I'm saying? They're a little family. They're doing their own thing. They're not bothered by the rest of the world, but now a famine has come, and they have to move their little troops of 70 people approximately into the world to sojourn there until the famine is over. But while they're there, they begin to multiply and to multiply. But there's idolatrous worship going on now all around them. They're not easily serving God. They can't do it openly. And they lived among the world, yet they were not part of the world. They found a time to somehow remember God. And in their affliction, they called upon God, and God heard them. And the time come that God called Moses to say to Pharaoh, "Let my people go. It's time I divide them. It's time that I separate them from Egypt representing the world. It's time that I call the godly from the ungodly, the righteous from the unrighteous." And so the 70-member family comes out as a nation of over 1 million people. They were divided from the rest of the world. How were they divided? Through the process of plagues. Through the process of plagues. These plagues, I could have picked any of them, but I picked the flies. These plagues would fall upon the Egyptians, but not upon the Israelites, showing God's ability to divide the wicked from the righteous. God's ability to put the goats and the sheep in their proper place. And so God had already, from our text when I read you this, if you'd read just the first part of the chapter in the previous chapter, you would find that he had already turned the water into blood. The Bible says they were digging about the river, trying to find water that didn't have blood in it. And when the water turned to blood, Moses said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh refused. Then came the frogs. Then came the lice, struck the ground. And the dust, the Bible says, turned into lice. The magicians came out there, and they were able to duplicate some things, but that lice, they couldn't duplicate that lice nor make it go away. And even the magicians turned to Pharaoh and said, "This is the finger of God. You better be careful what you're doing. This is the finger, not the hand, the finger of God. You better let them go." But every time he was going to let them go, he'd change his mind. And the Lord told Moses, "I want you to rise up early, and I want you to go stand by the water hole, because Pharaoh will be coming your way. And I want you to tell him to let my people go." It's interesting to me that the Lord told him that, "I'm going to tell you to tell him to let my people go," but he's not going to let you go. What's with that? Why tell me to tell him, and you're going to harden his heart? The Lord was conditioning them just like he was conditioning Pharaoh. It's interesting to me that they go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go," and he hardened his heart. Look who hardened their heart later in the wilderness. The same people that said, let me go. They hardened their heart. And the Bible warns us, harden not your heart as they did in the day of provocation, because you won't enter into that rest. You'll come short of it. And so he comes to Pharaoh that early that morning by the water hole, and he said, "Let my people go, or else I'll send swarms of flies, and these flies will be upon you, they'll be upon your servants, they'll be upon the land, and you know I hate a fly. I hate a fly. I've learned not to sit by windows in restaurants." You learned that lesson yet? You sit by the window, there's like some wanting in, some wanting out. And God said, "I'm going to sever. Tomorrow I will sever the land of Goshen where my people live. I will sever them from the rest of the world. I will put a division between them through swarms of grievous flies. We will be divided by flies." And while the Israelites were sitting there, they didn't even need a fly swatter or a Venus fly trap. But those Egyptians were breathing them in. They couldn't breathe without sucking them in. That's how grievous it was. And the Bible says there were so many grievous flies that it corrupted the whole land. But there was no flies in Israel, in Goshen. I'm here to tell somebody the world doesn't want to let you go. The world doesn't want to let you go. The world will tell you, they'll let you go. And people that get addicted to things and stuff like that, that's part of the world, right? And they'll think, well, I'm through with this. I'm through with it. I'm here to tell you that the world don't want to let you go. And what the world wants to do, if they can't have you, they want to hinder you. Anything he can do to hinder any one of you from serving the Lord. Paul said it this way, oh, that I could serve the Lord without distraction. You know, if you're distracted, you can't get anything done. You can't get anything done. When I need to hear something from the Lord, I shut the door. Separation. Separation between God's people and the world's people. God demands it. I said God demands it. And listen close. And godly people want it. Say what you want to about the Mennonites. Say what you want to about the ones that do the horse and boogies. What are those? Amish. Say what you want to. I wish we had that. I wish we had that. I wish that we could just serve the Lord without distractions. I wish I could send my kids to school when they were growing up without worrying about what they're going to learn from little Johnny. I just wish we could. I'm not saying they don't have issues and have trouble, but I'm just telling you, I just wish that we could be so divided from the world. I don't have to fool with the world at all. Not at all. Everyone I see is Holy Ghost filled. That'd be fine with me. You too? See, godly people want that. Ungodly people, well, yeah, but you know, we got to learn how to act with society. I'm through with society. I don't want nothing to do with society. I'm just traveling through here. Abraham said, I'm headed. I'm not looking to the right. I'm not looking to the left. I'm headed through. I don't want nothing you got. Yeah, I got to make a living, yeah, and all these kind of things. But I don't want society with the world. I want just society with the people of God. When you look at the world and you act like the world, then you may need to realize you are the world. For if any man love the world or the things of the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. And so many times I'm afraid people do not realize they're part of the world because they're so surrounded by the world, they think they're holy. Get next to God and you'll find out how unholy you are. And so even though the divisional covenant of circumcision that Abraham brought into existence was unseen by men wearing clothes over the circumcision, it could readily be seen in how they worshiped. And I appreciate the last Sunday, some of you young, some of the ladies and men, just letting God move through you. Letting God, because what we need to do is be open to the flow of the Spirit of the Lord. Because if we're not open to that, what are we doing? What are we doing? We've got to let God move. If we don't let God move, we're stagnant. And I'm so glad that we have something inside of us that shows on the outside. God divided them by flies. Said, tomorrow they're going to know that I'm the God in Egypt, that the land is mine, and I'm the Lord over all. I'll separate them by flies. Wow. I don't know what it takes to separate you from the rest of the world, but Lord, if it takes flies, send the flies. I want to read the rest of this in my study here this morning, Exodus 8 and 25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. I want you to notice that. He said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. Just do it where you're at. And Moses said, it is not meet so to do. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, we will sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and they will stone us. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go. I changed my mind. I'm going to let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. See, I want you to do it right there. Just do it where you're at. No, the Lord said he wants to go 3 days into the wilderness. Only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat of me. Get rid of these flies. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee and will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And he removed the swarm of flies from Pharaoh and from his servants and from his people. There remained not one. Woo! No more flies. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also. Neither would he let the people go. I want to say that the world's greatest goal is to hinder you from worshiping the Lord. Make you have a bad day. Make you have strife. Make you have envy. Make you have hatred at your neighbor. Whatever he can do. He can't steal your Holy Ghost. You understand that? He can't take it. He doesn't have that power. But Lord, he can hinder you. And that's what he wants to do. It's worth noting in this passage of Scripture that there was a reason why Moses wanted to go 3 days into the wilderness to sacrifice and worship the Lord. You will note in this passage of Scripture that Pharaoh first told Moses, sacrifice where you're at. Sacrifice in the land. Sacrifice where you're at. And he said, no, we will go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, lest we sacrifice abomination unto the Egyptians. What he's saying is, what they call holy, we're sacrificing. See, the Egyptians thought oxen were holy. And he said, if we sacrifice what they're calling holy, they will stone us. That's why we want to get out of sight. It's amazing how the Lord said, don't pray on the street corner too, but get out of sight. It's amazing how he said that you should pray in your closet. And the Lord that sees in secret, he will reward you openly. But when they prayed on the street corner, he said, they have their reward. It's a concept that the Lord is trying to teach us. And I'm not against bands getting out there and playing on the street. I mean, y'all won't do that, knock yourself out. But let me tell you something. I'm telling you, you can't cast pearls in front of swine. And that's what he's saying. I'm not going to sacrifice what they call holy in their eyes, lest they turn and stone us. All we want to do is worship the Lord. We don't want to be hindered with stones and all this kind of stuff. And too many times, I'm afraid if we're not careful, you go out and you think you're going to win the world. And they stone you. And they stone you. You can't do that and go to heaven. You can't do that. Y'all go there, you can't. And they don't understand it. They're stoning you. Get out of my face. Quit telling me what to do, holier than thou. And so it was a trick of the enemy. It was a trick of Pharaoh. Just do it in the land. He knew they'd stone him. He knew what that was about. It was a trick. And Moses said, oh no, the Lord said. See, it's always better to obey the voice of the Lord than the voice of man. The Lord said to go 3 days' journeys in the wilderness, so that's what we're going to do. He wanted to get out of sight. I want to show you this little scripture. See, John the Baptist preached in the wilderness, right? Jesus preached in the temples, right? But he didn't preach in the streets. Watch Isaiah 42 and 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. I like that. That's the God I want right there. The God that's not lifting himself up in the street, but a bruised reed, he turns it around and said, but a bruised reed, a broken reed, a smoking flax is a fire that's almost out. He will not quench. In other words, I'm here to heal the brokenhearted. I'm here to bind up the wounds of those that's been hurt. I'm here to set at liberty those captives. That's the kind of God I want to serve. And so God is asking us to be private, but yet public. I'm not afraid of the world. I'm not afraid to say, this is what the Lord has done for me. But at the same time, you can't go in your face. You cannot go in people's face and think you're going to win them like that. It's not going to work. You hurt God in doing so. And God's not asking us to start riots and start trouble and all these kinds. What he's interested in us is being severed from the world, separate from the world. Did he not say, come out from among them and be ye separate and I will receive you unto my own? Isn't that not what he said? Hallelujah. We need to be like Paul, that nothing shall separate me or sever me from the love of Christ. Let me tell you, everything in this world can be divided but Christ. Marriages, they can be divided. People can be divided. Families can be divided. Churches can be divided. You name it, it can be divided. But Christ cannot be divided. A body that is divided, it's against itself. He said, it's better if you got a part of the body that is divided to cut it off, if it offend thee, and cast it from thee, than to try to deal with division. He said, it'd be better to go into heaven hopping than to be hoping all your life you're going to make it and have two legs and not make it. Paul said it this way. He said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of Christ which is in, or the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You love God because you love Christ. It's difficult to love a God that you can't see. But Christ took on flesh. It's a lot easier for me to love a man that took on flesh and took my pain, took my burden, took on all of my sins. I love somebody to do that. I'm depending on you. I'm depending on your love to see me through. I'm telling you, I'm one of God's dependents. I'm one of God's dependents. I have to depend on him for everything I do. And everything, every morning I get up, I'm depending on him. Brother C.A. talked to him late last night. Or his son-in-law got in an accident, in case you didn't know, and got T-boned. He's in Lafayette Hospital. And Brother C.A. was there till got home about 3 o'clock this morning. And the young man lost his spleen. Someone ran a red light or traffic something. You just never know. You just never know. It's not always your fault. But you better know God, because he's the only one that's going to carry us through from this life to the life to come. Amen. God bless you. God wants us to be divided from the world, but not divided from each other. God bless you. Let's take a quick break and come back for morning worship.